so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so he who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was younger, growing up, I attended a small Catholic school in Ann Arbor. It was run by Dominican nuns, the Mary Mother of the Eucharist Order in Ann Arbor. And I remember, I don't exactly remember what age I was, but I remember being in science class and learning about the solar system and the other galaxies, and just thinking to myself as a little boy, just thinking, wow, the universe is really big. It's huge. I mean, the Earth is, I don't know how many Earths fit in the Sun, but the Sun is not even that big of a star in comparison to everything else. And all these other stars that are much, much bigger are millions of light years away. And as I'm thinking about this, and these nuns are telling me, yeah, God created it all. And I started thinking, wait a second, God started all this. He created this. He intended it to be this way. This massive, huge, unbelievably huge universe. You're telling me he started it all. He created it. Yeah. Okay. But he also created me? Yes. But I'm so tiny. I'm so small, insignificant. Why in the world does God care about this tiny thing, microscopic thing, in the whole grand scheme of the universe? That doesn't make any sense. I started to feel incredibly small. I started to feel so insignificant, like my life didn't matter as a little boy, just contemplating the realities of life. And I found myself one day, very shortly after, in the chapel. We had a chapel, we celebrated Mass every day. And I just remember looking at the image of the crucifix, staring up at it, as a little boy does, just thinking, so you're telling me that's God, the one who created everything. You're telling me that's the same being. That's what these crazy nuns are telling me, right? It didn't make any sense. I was even more confused. I was even more confused at this, because why in the world would an all-powerful, infinite being who created everything, that holds the universe in the palm of his hand, why in the world would he subject himself to such torment? Why would he undergo such treatment as that? And they're telling me, these nuns, they're telling me, he did it for me. He did it for me, so that I might have life. And so, I was just confused. I didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense why such a God would do that for me, simply because he loved me. Simply because he created me and loved me, and he wanted me to be with him, to dwell with him. This is why God did it. And he did it for all of us. And so today, as you can see, we wear red, because it's a rare occurrence where the feast of the Exaltation of the Cross falls on a Sunday. And so we celebrate it on a Sunday today, because we celebrate the paradox of the cross. Because it is a paradox. It doesn't make any sense. We can't fully understand the mystery of this instrument that is our salvation. Why God would take on the form of a slave, become like us, take on our nature so that he might die and rise from the dead. This is the profound mystery of our faith. And so today we exalt the cross. We honor it because of what it represents, because of what Jesus did on it. But back in the day, during Jesus' time, this was no instrument to be exalted. This instrument was supposed to strike fear into every single person's heart, whoever gazed upon it. This instrument was only used by the Roman Empire, and it was used to put criminals to death, to threaten everyone that if you told them to dictate how they are to live their lives. Don't mess with Rome. Otherwise, you will die in the most gruesome and painful way you can ever imagine, by having nails thrust into your hands and your feet and hanging there all day until you slowly could not stand up anymore and started to suffocate, hanging on the cross. And the Romans didn't care. They stripped you naked for everyone to see your shame, to mock you. And then animals would come and start picking at you as you were alive. This is what our Lord endured. This is the paradox of the cross, that an instrument that used to strike fear, they used violence to control everyone. Now we lift it up. We lift it up on high, showing everyone to the world what our God did. That this, our God Jesus, endured this, subjected himself to this pain and torment, also that he could show he is more powerful than any force in this world. That God is bigger and greater than Rome. That God is bigger and greater than death itself. God went into the abyss of pain and suffering. God endured it subjectively, not because he's all wise and all knowing, but because he subjected himself to it and allowed it to take place so that we might have life with him. That our human nature that was subjected to nothing but pain, suffering, and death because of original sin, because of what took place in the garden, because we were trapped and separated from God, God took on our flesh and went into the abyss, into God-forsakenness, abandonedness, the most painful and horrific way to die, so that he might conquer it, so that our human nature might have life again, that it might not be contained by the prison bars of death any longer, but that it might rise and be with God the Father. For this is what we exalt today. This is the knowledge of our faith. This is why we are Christians. This is why we follow Jesus. Because we believe he rose and conquered death. He conquered death. And so this knowledge in our minds, this what we have all learned ever since we were kids, this knowledge cannot remain up here. It can't remain just in our minds as intellectual thoughts, as intellectual beliefs. It can't remain up there, because if it just remains in our minds, it becomes stagnant. It becomes stale eventually. But if we let this knowledge of our faith, if we let it leak down into the very depths of our hearts, that knowledge that we possess in our minds now becomes affective information that penetrates our hearts with God's love. Our hearts are moved. We must let this information penetrate the very core of our existence and let God's history of salvation move us. Let it affect everything we do. Let it direct our hearts and move us. Once we know with our hearts and we experience that love in a personal way, we no longer begrudgingly live out the faith. We no longer drag our feet to mass. We no longer begrudgingly just follow the rules as if just what Catholics do, but rather we want to do them. We want to be here. We want to glorify God, and we want to receive his love more and more. Every single person desires this, whether they recognize it or not. But they were made for this love to penetrate them. The love that flows from the cross is supposed to enter in us, and we're supposed to experience it subjectively. And then, once we know what that personal love, that all-powerful and infinite love, feels like in our hearts, we desire to live our entire lives following God's will, following Jesus. Then we want to Son so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. The most famous Bible, one of the most famous Bible verses, we all know it, John 3:16. But this word, believes, in the Greek, it refers to more than just intellectual faith. Pistuo, in the Greek, refers to a loving entrustment. That you don't just don't intellectually believe it, but rather you entrust yourself to it so that those who gaze upon this horrific instrument of death now becomes the means of our salvation. This is the paradox in which we celebrate today, that something so gruesome, so terrible, can now be a means of granting eternal life. This is the paradox of the cross. This is what we are all